Welcome to Impact Live Wire, your monthly podcast where we get to know various members of our communities, emerging leaders, innovative thinkers, and other exciting people that support Immatic's mission and have an impact on our lives. I'm your host, Evan Evans.
All right, Kim, welcome to Impact Live Wire. We appreciate you joining us this month. As a member and actually as a chair of the Developmental Math ANET/community, what are you focusing on right now?
You know, the Developmental Math ANET community is currently working, of course, a lot with those co-requisites and moving forward with the multiple DevEd redesigns that we've had across the country. And we're not all doing the same redesigns. So it's been really beneficial to have a community that we could talk over what's going well and what hasn't gone well, and to learn from each other and to move forward with a lot more data behind us rather than just trying something that everyone else has already found not to work really well.
And you talk about moving forward. What is your vision for your community for the near future?
I really hope that our community will collaborate more and more on strategies for improving student success. It's not only the students who are in the developmental level courses now, especially with the co-requisites. We have a number of students in college level courses who are lacking some of those study skills, right? So to be able to collaborate and find what's helping those students at every level move forward.
What's one common myth about your community that you would like to debunk?
I think the biggest myth is that the developmental math committee is only for faculty who are currently teaching developmental education level courses. And really, even in a calculus course, you're teaching some developmental level math, right? You're teaching some of those algebra skills from 8th grade, 9th grade, algebra 1, and trying to find ways to integrate that into calculus, even though it's a calculus college level course. So we'd really like to see all faculty recognize that this developmental level math is for everyone.
What has been your biggest surprise, either as a member of AMATIC or as a chair of the Developmental Math Committee?
I think that I'll answer both of those, because for AMATIC at large, I've always been surprised at how easy it is to collaborate with members from across the country, right? Not just from attending the conference, but from the various, even over the years before we had my AMATIC, which has really bumped up the easiness of connecting with each other and collaborating. But collaborating with members through meeting someone at a conference and sharing contact information. And if you'd lost that, you could go back to some of the information that was published in the AMATIC program, because the email addresses were there. So it was so easy to reconnect with people. And then the next year when you attended the conference, you could connect with the same people again and grow your network. I would add to that, for the developmental mathematics ANET, I would say that I've been really surprised at how easy it is to get involved, how easy it is to jump into any of the ANETs and connect, participate, even provide input to position statements or other work that the ANETs have been doing. Really enjoyed how easy it is to get involved at whatever level anyone wants to be involved.
Why did you initially join either AMATIC or even your developmental math ANET?
I'll start with AMATIC. I joined AMATIC back in 2005 because my college, the San Diego Canyon College, had a special grant, and the woman who was running that grant had funds to bring a couple faculty members to the AMATIC conference. I had never heard of it before, had never attended before, and didn't have to travel far because I was just in Orange County, California, traveled down to San Diego for that conference. And I was amazed. For every session slot, it felt like I had two or three sessions I really wanted to go to. So I really enjoyed that conference. And from there, once I was in a place that I could attend the conferences, I was attending conferences pretty regularly. I'll add to that, that I moved across country. I moved from Southern California to Missouri, to the Midwest. How fun it was to go back to these conferences and reconnect with my colleagues from previous institutions that I'd worked at, either as an adjunct or even full-time.
So Kim, along the way, who has been your biggest supporter or mentor or role model over the course of your career?
I would say that starting out, I was really fortunate to have two grandparents that were teachers and, of course, always supported me wanting to go into the teaching field. After that, when I had moved on to teaching at a community college, my colleagues at the Santa Ana College, who were really involved with AMATIC, attended conferences regularly, were a big help in my decision to participate in AMATIC, have encouraged me to put in a proposal to do a presentation. And they even came and attended my proposal. They came just to be the cheerleaders to me doing my first proposals. So a lot of fun to be able to grow at AMATIC with those colleagues.
Hey, what's something about you most people familiar with you or your work wouldn't know?
Let me think about that for a minute. You know, I think maybe I'd go back to a couple things. The first, I'd say, I don't know that many people would guess that I am a double major, not only mathematics, but also majored in English. And I did a credential to teach in the secondary level. So I had a teaching credential to teach math or English, grade 7 to 12. I always headed towards that math credential, but I enjoy taking the literature courses. So as I got closer and closer to graduation, I realized, oh, I might have enough credits to major in English. And the wheels started turning, thinking someday I might want to teach at a school that only has a position for English, and I'd be able to get that job. So I've yet to have that job teaching English on its own as a standalone job, but certainly found a great deal of opportunities to use my knowledge of how to do some of that English education, and I've enjoyed that. Another thing people probably don't know is that I started out teaching middle school, and my first job was on the north shore of Oahu at a small private school, just a K through eight school, and one of my students was the heir to the Hawaiian throne. Really neat. CNN actually came into my classroom that first year to film. They weren't there to film me. They were there to film the heir to the Hawaiian throne. And it's really fun now that you hear that teachers never forget their first class. And that's certainly true for me. Still in touch with a lot of those kids who were in that first class. And a couple of them have even gone on to be teachers themselves.
That's awesome. That's very interesting. Hey, if our listeners would like to connect with you either online or offline, where's a good place for them to touch base with you?
A few places. I love attending the AMATIC conference, intending to be there at Toronto and future conferences coming up, but also the My AMATIC directory or the Impact Live DevEd community are some easy ways to connect with me.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to you hosting this month and all the good things that you and your ANET have in store for us. So thanks for joining us this month.
Thanks, Evan.
So that wraps up this month's interview. Please join us again next month. And until then, continue to make an impact every day.